superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Wow. My phone just went crazy.
Man, I'm just like,
it's buzzing like nuts right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We have just been nominated for a Sports Emmy for Best Studio Show.
What?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My name may be on it. It is a team effort.
Damn, that's awesome.
Today's guests, ESPN Sports Center host Scott Van Pelt, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Georgia running back James Cook, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California. Join us today, why don't you? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So much to talk about after a busy weekend. First weekend of Major League Baseball. Obviously, the Masters went down. We've got the NBA playoffs now all set. The NFL draft is 2 weeks from Thursday. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching us on Peacock or listening to us on this terrestrial radio station coast to coast, or you're listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio, the Odyssey stream, listening to us on our podcast, where all podcasts are acquired on the Cumulus Podcast Network, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for whatever you may have missed. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
What's
how are you?
Rich, man, great to be here.
Can you help me out? Who's that person to your left?
Is it Matt? Mitch?
Mike Del Tufo.
Hey!
Don't blink. He's gone the rest of the week. I would say he's here all week, but he's touching base here today. A busy man getting the USFL ready for our eardrums.
Yes.
He's doing MLS. He's got Major League Baseball on Fox, by the way. Congratulations on an Emmy nomination for that, right? They were nominated for sound, correct?
Live sound.
Congratulations to that.
You, Rich, of course.
For
and
us.
And all of us.
I know that.
Mikey?
That's right. You missed that last Wednesday. He's been all over the place.
Alabama.
The clicking noise you heard was TJ Jefferson lighting the candle.
My fault. That was like a...
You're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of clicking, a lot of noise.
What's up, fellas?
But good to see you, sir. Good to see you over there.
I'm going to use matches from now on, Rich. My bad.
No, definitely don't do that. We don't need to set off any... I don't know if what you're doing is legal here anyway in the city of Los Angeles. But no, we're burning candles. There's essence that's in this room right
Atmosphere,
now.
Atmosphere, ambiance.
So, you know, the Masters, when it all came down to it, there wasn't an intense finish, unless you thought we were going to see Scottie Scheffler miss five straight little bunnies. He finally did put the pellet in the cup, and now he's got a green jacket, and I can't get enough of his story. And his story is one that we're all learning because he's won a major championship, but the guy didn't have a win on his professional ledger, didn't have a dub. I mean, the Ryder Cup, you know, that he was surprise selection for.
Yep.
Last year, you know, part of the reason why the Americans won that is in part due to his terrific putting. His short game, his whole game is just impressive. But the guy didn't have a win coming into this year. And, you know, flash back to 2.5 months from now, 1st of February. I know we talked about how March was a crazy month in the NFL, right? But the spring, the winter and spring here for Scottie Scheffler, no wins. He now has four, including a green jacket.
So crazy.
And it's just, to me, I can't get enough. This is why we watch sports, and why we watch sports is because, you know, the four famous words: you just never know. You just never know. And that's why the NFL is so immensely popular, because you just never know any given Sunday, any given year now. I mean, 1 year ago at this time, the Cincinnati Bengals, we weren't talking about them as a Super Bowl contender, let alone a Super Bowl participant, and one that I believe has a chance to go back again this year. The NFL is you never know. And golf, I guess, is you never know on any given tournament. But this year, guy's the world number one now. And he was the world's number 12 coming into the year. You put together enough wins, enough championships, enough want to, can do. Certainly in a game that is so dependent on the diamond in between your temples. It's truly unbelievable. You just can. And I understand, you know, he went to the University of Texas, and there's enough people who go there and are very successful professional golfers, and he had the opportunity. But opportunity meeting moment is something that I find so impressive to watch. And I was nervous for him at the outset of Sunday. I was nervous for him at the end of Sunday. Certainly Rory McIlroy, one of your favorites, Chris, going on a heck of a run, 7 under 64, including a hole-out Sandy birdie on 18 to put a little bit of pressure on. But once the echoes, you always hear about the roars and the echoes of Augusta National, reached Scheffler on 14. And he fires a dart over the stick and draws it right back to next to the hole, and he drains that putt. I mean, Scheffler parring 13 with an opportunity to birdie that par 5 just as McIlroy holed out to make it a 3-stroke situation. And then Scheffler goes birdie, birdie to basically say that'll wrap it up, and gave those 2 strokes back on 18 when it didn't matter.
Yeah, didn't matter.
Loved it. Enjoyed it. And as always, I wanted to go play golf when it was all over.
Absolutely. Yeah, the rest of you mentioned it. The drama was there at the beginning of the day. The drama was there. Cameron Smith starts birdie, birdie. Scheffler, bogey. Suddenly it's 9-8. Minus 9, minus 8 going into 3. And you thought, uh-oh, here we go. Is Scheffler going to, is the moment going to be too big? And then he has that miraculous chip in from off the green for birdie. And then Smith bogeys, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, it's a more comfortable cushion. But the first hour or so yesterday, you weren't sure which way it was going to go for him.
I just, again, like I said, I love it when you never know and you learn who people are and you watch them play at Augusta National. On a beautiful Sunday after Saturday was frigid. It was one of those days like I would never want to play golf on that. And the only way I would play golf is if, you know, you're at Augusta National. I'll bundle up and get out there. So there was that going on. I'll be honest. Sunday, I couldn't believe the tweet that I saw when I woke up. I had to read it many times over, that like the Dwayne Haskins that we've been talking about for years, kid with 50 touchdown passes at Ohio State, becomes a first-round selection in Washington, winds up in Pittsburgh, where we just had Mason Rudolph here the other day saying he was excited to get out there with Haskins again. And Mitchell Trubisky's now part of the team, and he invited a whole bunch of people down to South Florida, and one of them to get on the same page altogether as one big Steeler offensive family down in South Florida was Dwayne Haskins. And at age 24, he's dead. He's gone. Apparently attempted to cross a highway in South Florida. I don't know if anybody's going to figure out what he was in fact doing out there or attempting, but getting hit by a truck, and at age 24, he's gone. And, you know, we got a chance to meet him on the phone. We tweeted out that video yesterday before he was drafted. He was a hugely popular high school athlete in the Mid-Atlantic and in Maryland, and wound up going to Ohio State. I remember the first time he played, I was like genuinely excited to watch him because he wasn't JT Barrett who got hurt in the Big House, and Haskins came in. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the year, right? Because here comes some kid who's never really gotten much action, and he was stupendous. He was stupendous in the moment. And then the next year, he gets the opportunity, and because he gets the opportunity, a kid named Joe Burrow goes to LSU. And all Haskins does is throw 50 touchdown passes. And he gets drafted. I know it's not really what he wants. I think he was talking at the time. A lot of people were hoping he would be with the Giants, that he'd get drafted. Then Daniel Jones was the quarterback they took instead. And we all know Haskins struggled in Washington, D.C., wound up in Pittsburgh. And the general sense was he was pointing up, trending up, that his time there with Tomlin and his program there was definitely suiting Haskins and vice versa. I mean, who knows? Could have had an opportunity this year. Obviously, the depth chart looking the way it was looking, but the NFL's a you-never-know league, and all I want to say is I just couldn't believe. Just imagine you're part of his family, and you hear this news, age 24. He's got a kid. He's got nothing but his life in front of him and gone. And I know the Ohio State family, his actual real family of flesh and blood, and the Pittsburgh family, the Washington family, I send nothing but my heartfelt condolences to you and just want to say, just hug everybody, man. Just the latest example of how fast and how quick this all goes. I was so affected by it. I just, every now and then it would just waft through my head that a 24-year-old kid with so much that he had already accomplished and an opportunity at some point for him that he was fighting for and that he was with all of his teammates. And I saw all the videos out there of him having fun with them. And then the next day he's gone. Albert Breer is going to join us in hour number two. I figured who better to talk about the life and times of Dwayne Haskins than a big Ohio State guy like him and then an NFL guy like him. And, you know, we are 2+ weeks away from an NFL draft, mock drafts galore, freaking me out what I'm seeing about, you know, what the Jets are going to take and who they might not take and the opportunity to take who from Georgia. And we've got a Georgia Bulldog coming up later on. James Cook, the running back who absolutely ruined my New Year's Eve. He will be on the program. Also on this program coming up in just a short amount of time is none other than Scott Van Pelt, who came on this show 2 weeks ago to say, hey, keep an eye out for Tiger at the Masters. And we were all focused on the Final Four at that time.
Like, what?
Like, say, is that real? Is that what's going on?
Seriously?
And Tiger shows up. And he goes 78-78 over the weekend, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares?
Because the words over the weekend are the key phrase there, and the fact he was actually at the Masters. So other things to talk about just to set us up today on this program is the NBA playoffs are set. I will give you my top five playoff, first round playoff matchups that I'm looking forward to most. I have not only a right to do that as the host of this program, but as the champion of the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Basketball League. And this is just the first of several mentions of this. I already see that Brockman is rolling his eyes. Too bad. Too bad. Absolutely too bad. So I will give you my basketball knowledge and wisdom.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
On this program as somebody who is the champion of our fantasy league and host of this program that's Emmy nominated.
I mean, I can't argue with the last part of that statement.
Okay.
You know, everything else before that.
Okay.
Maybe.
It's all good. You just got shown up by the host. That's coming up on this program.
I mean, Mike, you haven't been here in like a month.
Also, by the way, happened to break some entertainment news here on this program on Friday.
I know we did.
Involving The Mandalorian.
How about that?
Thanks to Giancarlo Esposito. Broke some entertainment news last night.
Oh. Hmm.
As the host of the Curb Your Enthusiasm For Your Consideration Emmy nomination panel.
Look at you.
And wait till I tell you about my evening with Larry David, Jeff Garland, J.B. Smoove, and Susie Essman, and Cheryl Hines, and Richard Lewis, and Jeff Schaefer.
Wow.
All of them together. An outstanding evening here in Los Angeles last night.
Can't wait to
hear. I've got
about
some
it.
Great stories.
Let's go.
Great stories coming up on this program. Also, Overreaction Monday.
Overreaction Monday. LeBron is talking right now.
Oh, LeBron's talking right now.
So we might get some of that later.
Was he the one who told Woj that Vogel's out? To tweet that? We got to talk about that.
By the way, maybe.
Very rare that a head coach, a championship head coach, gets fired by Woj bomb.
Fired by
such
Woj
a thing?
Bomb.
Fired by Woj bomb. That is that could be my that could be the name of my defending champion basketball fantasy team name next week.
We'll see if you get invited.
We'll be storm next year. We'll see if you get. Got to come at the king to beat the king. So we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, and we're playing golf later on today.
Hey now.
In the charity event here for the local Red Cross.
One of the best events every year that we
kind of
do.
Raining right now.
Yeah.
It will be good.
Oh, it never rains on the golf course, TJ.
It'll be good.
Okay.
Do you want to bring the Callaway Rogue ST driver? Give that one a whirl.
Oh, do we have one?
Just, of course we do.
Oh, baby, let's go.
What are you talking about? Do we have
one? Come on.
Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one on planet Earth that's built to completely bomb it.
Boom.
Speed tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just really the beginning. Because Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers are going to fit into the Max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness, but there's also the Max D, the Max LS. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact low-spin head that the tour players love. Saw it out there at Augusta National this weekend. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Our friend Scott Van Pelt, back from Augusta National. He will join us when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. And the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. I'm back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit. Before we get to Scott Van Pelt, we're just talking about Frank Vogel being fired by Woj bomb. I've never seen anything like it. I'm assuming we're going to hear today. Maybe the Lakers might hang on to Frank Vogel for another day just to make it seem like, you know, they didn't fire him or somebody didn't tell Woj about it before telling the coach. And by the way, I saw locally here, the Lakers broadcast studio show with the great James Worthy and Robert Horry, who's got a million rings. they were upset with Woj. And it's just like, hey, he's got the information. What's he not going to do? Report it? Until Frank's informed first. If somebody from the Lakers is calling him up and saying, Frank's out. Oh, yeah, when are you going to tell him? Monday. Okay. What is it? What, like, who's next? What do you got? Well, it's going to be extensive. It's going to be long. And, you know, it's going to be long because I don't know how many coaches are going to want to come here. You know, especially the roster as it's currently stands right now here in Los Angeles. Brian Windhorst said last week, it's going to be at least a year to dig through Russell Westbrook, who nobody's going to take. And Vogel was the one who was supposed to try and keep this whole thing together and trying to move it forward. And he won a championship in the bubble. So you want to talk about somebody who knows how to put pieces together under difficult circumstances. That's one guy. But who's going to want to come here and know that somebody's going to be potentially firing you through Woj? Or, as Bill Orem wrote about in The Athletic, the general manager and Kurt Rambis, the Rambi, who are here, the Rambis family. The general manager and Kurt Rambis apparently coming into video room and talking about stuff. And he, you know, and Frank's like, you know, they can tell me they're just, you know, they're like assistant coaches. They have some say, but the say is a final one for me. He has the final say, is what Frank Vogel is going to say. I would say Adrian Wojnarowski is the final say.
So Rich,
or his send button has the final say, you know?
You think they're going to have a hard time getting coaching candidates?
Oh, yes.
Coach the Lakers?
Yes. I do.
I don't know if you saw this, Rich, but one name that's been floated is Juwan Howard.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Nick Nurse, another one.
Why would they want to come here?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you.
Because it's the Lakers.
Okay. Will they pay him all that money? Will they pay him money? Because they didn't pay it to Frank Vogel.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe they should get Sally Field to work on the books and figure out how they can pay him.
Oh, well, Rich, as we all know, it doesn't go too well sometimes.
We'll have a bunch of bounce checks, you know, and then what?
Hey, man, if Juwan Howard wants to come here and coach LeBron and come out here and try to figure out what Russell Westbrook and leave Michigan and what have you, you know, if that's really what he would like to do, or the Lakers want to kick the tires on that, I don't know. I know it's a job that is...
It's the Lakers, Rich. It's the Los Angeles Lakers with 18 championships. And I'm not even a fan.
I get it.
But like...
No, I get what you're saying. But as Brian Windhorst said yesterday, how many players in the world are going to say, I want to play for the Lakers? It's a different world. Maybe the same thing for coaches. Certainly if you see what's going on with Frank. Hey, Frank, what's going on there, general manager? What's going on there with the Rambises? How are they involved? Tell me what's going on there. What happened with LeBron? How did Russ wind up on the team? 41 different rotations and starting rotations. How did that work out? What happened? Who told Woj? Okay. I guess for 10 figures a year, not 10 figures, you know what I'm saying?
I got you, yeah.
Mid nine.
A lot of scratch.
Mid seven, sorry.
Let's see how it plays out. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. But we'll hear what LeBron's still talking about later on this show. Yep. For the moment, though, let's turn to our friend, fresh back from Augusta National on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, a fellow nominee for Best Studio Personality, or whatever the official word for it is, for the Emmy Awards. He's our friend from the Midnight Sports Center and more, back from Augusta National, Scott Van Pelt on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, Scott?
I'm well, and congrats, by the way, on that nomination. It's always nice to be included in that list, and sincerely humbling and all that. So that's nice of you to say, and congrats. And I'll see you in New York, I hope.
Right back at you. Although that was not the sentiment you told Ernie Johnson on the text exchange we all had privately that I'm now bringing public, Scott.
Yeah, I said I hate Ernie Johnson. I said, oh wait, did I send this to everyone?
Yeah, you replied to all.
We obviously knew what we were doing. Ernie's one of the kindest, gentlest, one most wonderful souls in the world, and we all hate him because he wins every year. it's, it's, let's just call it what it is.
Not to put too fine a point on it. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Although
he's got enough.
He's got it.
It's like Costas back in the day. I used to lose to him. Now I lose to Ernie. But you know, maybe one of these days, or I'll just be Susan Lucci. It's fine.
Yeah.
Where do we want to start? I was on with my dear friend here in D.C.
Yes.
Who has a podcast, and he said the story of the weekend's Tiger Woods. And I said, hold on.
I'm with you. I know where you're going.
The guy that's number one in the world, yep, who's won three of his last five events, shows up and wins. That's the story of the weekend. Now, if you want to tell me the overarching headline was Tiger, I'm not arguing. We certainly, our ratings benefited. I'm sure CBS's will have as well. And Tiger is a massive story. But Scottie Scheffler winning is the headline, and rightly so. You win, and you're the headline.
Well, I'm with you, and I figured, again, who better to have on than you to tell me who this guy is and where all this came from, right? I mean, middle of February, nobody had any idea that this could be happening.
No.
Right?
Here's what's interesting is that, and God, these last couple of years, because of the way things have happened, and it's so easy to forget when and where and what, right? Because it's just this fog. And in November 2020, when the Masters was played then, I went over. No one was there. It's empty. And I went over to introduce myself to Scottie because I hadn't met him. But prior to that, in August, at the PGA Championship in Harding Park out in San Francisco, he played brilliantly and was in the final group. And it was just obvious that even though he was new to the stage, he just, something about him, the way he carried himself. He was young, but he felt mature. Now, I don't want to say old, just felt very mature. And so I just walked over, and he was coming off the 18th, and I said, hey, and we BS'd for a few minutes. And I just said, man, you're going to be out here a long time and have a blast and be great. You're going to win a ton. And because I said it because I thought it. And he hadn't yet. And then in Phoenix, he wins, and then he wins in Orlando at Bay Hill, and then he wins a match play, so that's a completely different deal, and now he wins a major. And so I think in the game, Rich, people thought he was a dude. Like, he had it. He was going to be a guy. And then in the Ryder Cup, too, I don't want to miss that.
He
dueled with, I think, John Rahm there and beat the then world number one and just put on a show. And so at every turn, he's shown that he had the goods, but for it all to happen at warp speed, and to ramp up to number one and then win as world number one and to win the way he did, that's the kind of stuff that makes you have to really stop and ask, all right, well, what are we talking about? What type of trajectory are we on? Trajectory. I can't do it.
Trajectory.
Emmy nominee Scott Van Pelt can't say trajectory.
We're all together. I'm there for you.
I want you to see the sentence structure.
Yes,
what
sir.
Kind of a trajectory are we on?
Well,
see, it was like an Elmer Fudd thing that happened there.
Mm-hmm. We got through.
Stuck. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is he's good, and he's really playing some good golf, Rich. I want to tell you.
But again, like where do, I know he's from Jersey, right? And he's a Longhorn, like I guess many other terrific professionals who wear green jackets are, right? And so,
yeah,
right?
Texas kid, like the story goes that he used to show up at the golf course wearing long pants in the summer because he wanted to carry himself like a tour pro. And that's how he visualized himself. That's how he saw himself. And, you know, kind of spoke it into existence, if you will. I mean, it's just the way, and this is, I'm not in no way is it a critical. It's just it's different. I really like Colin Morikawa. He lives in Vegas. He's not flashy. He's incredibly composed too. Guy from Cal, really mature. But I think he's got a little bit. There's just a little bit more something. A little more, and that style, but just maybe feels like he could be got a big personality that he can show you. Right, a bright smile that lights up a room. Justin Thomas, he's got a whole bunch of swagger and. On a big stage, loves it, wants to strut on a big stage. Scottie Scheffler feels more like a guy that's just sort of gives you a nod and a smile and not a whole lot more. He just, he's about the work and the results speak for themselves. It's not unexpected that he's won, but look, no one expects someone to win four out of six starts and go from not ranked number one to a pretty strong grip on it.
Well, I when I said he's a Jersey kid, he was born in New Jersey. I'm aware he went to a high school that I guess others went to, like Matthew Stafford. Is it true Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw were on
the
same team, too?
That's the first I'd heard that mentioned. That's what an amazing coinkydink.
Yeah, did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, too? Are you aware of that, Scott?
Did he?
Yeah.
Jerome Bettis, was it back to where he was from?
Yeah.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, in Detroit. That's where he was from. You know, I'm just throwing these things out there.
You're a sleuth, Rich Eisen.
We're just trying to put pieces together. We're just all puzzle makers right here. Scott Van Pelt on the Rich Eisen show. Okay, and the holdouts from the side bunker on 18 with McIlroy and Morikawa, that was some of the most outstanding Masters moments I've seen in a long time. That got me off the couch. That was awesome.
And we needed it. We needed it because Scheffler had put a stranglehold on the tournament to such a degree that it was, you're looking for something. That was awesome just because Rory is a guy who, as we all know, needs the Masters to finish the Slam, and for whatever reason has just gotten off to poor starts, and it's kind of baffling as to why. And in the game, this is not a criticism by any stretch, but when he starts playing well on the weekend, it's just the old, oh, here comes Rory for another backdoor top 10. Well, he's played so well on the weekends where he hasn't been part of the storyline, and then you look back at the results and you go, oh, wow, he did finish top 10. He wasn't part of the main fabric of the story. Well, yesterday was different because not only did he play well enough to become top 10, but he was playing well enough that you had to entertain the thought that if something went wrong with Scheffler, well, maybe he could post a score. And then when he holds out on 18, then the place goes berserk. And then Morikawa matches it. And the reaction of those two with one another, right? Like Rory was cheering him on the same way Morikawa was cheering on Rory. And then McIlroy had that, I don't know what to do with my hands thing. I don't know what happened. Like, it was like the club ejected from his hands. He just kept... what are you doing with your hands, bro? What is this thing you're doing? But it was spectacular. Morikawa told me afterwards, I've never heard a roar like that. And then he heard another one because it was for him. It was tremendous. And again, those are two great talents. But it speaks to what Scheffler did over the course of 3.5 days that, in terms of who's going to win and lose, it didn't make any difference.
Here's just a nice footnote to Sandy Birdies like that, you know. So Scott Van Pelt here.
How about that? You go bunker to bunker and hole out, and you don't win the hole with your, you know, when you're settling up with your buddy. You're like, ah, guy, we have the hole, bud.
Right, and then one of them caps a 64 on Sunday with it and doesn't even come within shots of the tournament. You know, that
speaks to Scheffler's brilliant.
Unreal.
He came down to Butler Cabin on Friday, and it was, he hadn't won from the lead. And it's wild how in sports, not just golf, but certainly in golf, that playing with the lead, there's a burden to that. There's something about being freed up when you're chasing. And you saw that from McIlroy, right? Like you take on shots maybe you wouldn't otherwise. And I said to Scotty, look, you won in Phoenix and you won in Orlando trailing. I'm not trying to say there's anything bad about leading by five, obviously, but it's just different. And I think he spoke to that after he won, that when he woke up Sunday, he was emotional. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for this, because that place is different, man. Like, you win that, and you're different for the rest of your life. You're a Masters champion. And I thought it was interesting to hear him so honestly share what the weight of that is, that just the expectation. Because we've seen people stumble, certainly, famously, in that spot, and he didn't. And at such a young age, to kind of wobble a bit early and then, you know, steady himself and win. I think it's just, from start to finish, it's just a hell of a show from the young man.
Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh back from Augusta National. Great coverage on ESPN, CBS, the whole family covering the Masters. So let's get into Tiger. Any idea what he did between rounds to get ready? I mean, that Saturday, it was 50 degrees outside. Just a crusher for any human being, let alone somebody his age coming back from what he was coming back from. Do you have like what was his regimen? Do you have the old flowering peach hyperbaric chamber or something like that? Like, what do you have?
Let me just start just with the hardest thing for people in our business to ever say. I don't know. I don't know specifically. He doesn't connect all the dots for us. He did mention a lot of ice baths and how much they suck. I believe I'm quoting him directly. And they're just trying to reduce swelling because he's not that far removed from this horrific injury to his leg. And you saw it take its toll over the course of the 4 days. And as you point out, Saturday was legitimately not just cold for Augusta. It was a cold day. The wind, it was just the kind of, felt like a fall football day, like an Ann Arbor, you know, Saturday in November. It felt like that. And so he's managing more than most. But I don't know the specifics. I think What's most interesting coming out of it is another question we don't know the answer to, and that's when will we see him again? I think, look, it's no secret PGA's on our network. It'd be great for us if he's on, just because obviously people turn up to see him. If he doesn't, maybe the U.S. Open, but he did say he'd play the Open at St. Andrews, which is his favorite course in the world. So that's good news. If nothing else, we know we've got one more major to see him. But it's clear there's a lot of work to do for him to physically get that leg stronger, so that it's not such a such a challenge for him just to get around for 18.
So okay, so maybe we see him before then. But I mean, all in all, though, just the mere fact that he did it, made the cut at one point Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, he had a putt to share the lead, right?
He was in the mix for, I don't know, because I don't remember where M was in relation to where Tiger was, but I mean, he was under par. He shot 71, which totally meant we had to rethink what might happen.
Right.
And look, you've covered the guy for years too, prior to changing hats and becoming, you know, the face of the NFL Network. I mean, you remember that there was no world in which 78-78 on the weekend in a major would be greeted with a giant smile and him saying he was thankful.
Right.
But that's what you saw Sunday. And I thought that was really a window into what the week was about for him. I'm back. I'm trying. I'm in the arena. Played one good round. Now I just got to figure out how to get around for three more days. And he did. And in the end, was he at close to winning? No. But the genuine joy I felt like you saw from him, and the reception he got from the patrons there at Augusta National. And I feel like, you know, people all around the world, like, they're sitting on their couch smiling, going, right on, this dude's back in it, you know? And that's more than we thought not that long ago.
How big is Butler, Kevin? How big is that thing?
Not enormous. Not enormous. It's but big enough for the people that need to be in there.
But what is it normally? Just like some folks who are done with a round, they go hang out in the cabin?
It's a cabin for members to stay if you're on property when you go down to be there. But it's just insane, Rich. I mean, we've known each other a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard to explain. I'm sure you have those moments in your life, in your work, where you just look around and you shake your head and you think, wow, you know, here I sit, right? I mean, it's 3 Eastern and the Masters comes on the air and you're the one talking. It's just absolutely absurd. So Tiger's not the only guy thankful down there that week, that's for sure. You're sitting in there for 2 days and that's the office, and it's just such a joy to do it.
So, I mean, not to pry, but I'll do it anyway. So if, like, say you need a pen, do you go searching through drawers in case Bill Gates left one from a few weeks ago or something? Like, I'm seriously, like, what is it? There's furniture, there's a bed, is that what it is?
They've moved everything out of the way so that there are just the chairs that you see there in front of the fireplace, and then what the camera doesn't see is how it is in any studio. It's all the things that make it work, right? The lights, there's monitors that you can watch, you know, the action. There's leaderboards that are telling you what's happening on every single hole that are just, you know, in your sight line beyond the cameras.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I'll just put it this way.
Yes.
If you needed anything, yes, Someone would sort that out for you rather quickly.
You have to go rummaging through the place?
No, like, I'm like, where the hell is the pen? I need a piece of paper. You give me the paper.
Right, and then all of a sudden some member strolls in like, what are you doing in here, Scott? Like, you don't want to do
that,
you know?
None of that. I try to keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise, my man. I stay where I'm meant to be. You know? I don't wander off into the second cut. I stay right here, and I don't go searching. But you don't need to. Everything's right where you need it.
Of course.
You know what's so cool about that place is Cam Smith comes in after the first round, and the guy's just played this brilliant round. He's 68, 4 under. And after we got done, and he looks at me, and he's a super understated guy, and he says, mate, I've never been more nervous in my life. And I thought, I mean, that's Butler Cabin. You know, the idea is, since he's been playing the game, he thought, someday I'll get down there. Sadly for him, it was Thursday with me and not Sunday with Nance, but maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Scott, you're the man. Thanks again. I'll see you in New York Emmy night, if not sooner. You're the best. Thanks, pal.
I appreciate you, my man. I'll see you soon, B, and thanks for having me in.
Anytime. Thank you. That's Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff with Scotty right there on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I can only basically say, hanging in Butler Cabin, the entertainment equivalent of that is hanging in Edit Bay with the Curb Your Enthusiasm crew while they're going over the rough cut of what they're putting together for everyone to see in HBO. And I've been very fortunate to be part of that group for the last several years. And that's part of what led me to a stage last night with the Curb crew. Wait till you come back. Wait till we come back and I'll tell you some great stories from last night, including I forwarded on stage last night something we talked about on this program just last week. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back Toronto, here on the show.
And this is still Los Angeles. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like,
what about John Calipari?
Why would he want to leave Kentucky to come out here to Los Angeles?
Because Kentucky's not going to win a title.
But he's good. He's there no matter what. Like, he's never going to be forced out, or he's never going to be on a hot seat.
Yeah, but
he's going to get all the top prospects he wants. It's all set up. Why would he leave that to come here and be in the NBA meat grinder that spat him out in New York City the last time? Why would he do that? Why would Juwan Howard want to do that either?
Because a lot of these guys, Rich, I don't think want to have the grind of going to, and we talked about this before,
yeah, Chris, recruiting.
Recruiting. Yeah. You got to go out there and you got to recruit these
kids. But now you got to figure out how Russell Westbrook fits into this equation.
But you're the coach. Are we talking, are we keeping Russ? Or are we talking about moving him? Because if you're talking about moving him, then that's not your job.
Where are you going to move him? To a different planet?
Like, but honestly, that's only your problem for 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year your problem. And that's not really get rid of Russ. That's not the coach's issue. You have to make it work on the court. But if he's going to get traded or released, that's not your problem.
Well, LeBron guaranteed it was going to work this year, guys. And he made sure that we kept our same energy throughout, talking about his old roster. And I'm here for the same energy because I said it was not going to work in October. And it was a disaster this year, so my energy is the same.
All I'm saying,
I can confirm that Brockman's energy level has stayed.
He has not waned. He's been consistent. I will just say this, and then we'll hear from LeBron later on in the program. I will just say this. There will be a hire. The Lakers will get a coach. We will either say the words okay in one of two ways.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Or... okay.
Okay.
Higher register. Okay. Okay. Higher register.
Or okay. I'm saying the final result will be okay. We'll see what happens. Not like okay. All right. Okay.
Just kind of okay. Like, all right, this is the situation. Let's see how it works out.
I do remember they were the dumpster fire. Everyone thought they were a dumpster fire. Remember all that? They were a dumpster fire. And Magic's not going to be here. And then LeBron and AD and all of that business, and it turned out all right. So we'll see what happens. I'm just saying, when it's all at the end of the day, okay. Instead of okay. And that's where you're like, how will we know the coach is of a certain caliber? That's your test. That's your litmus test.
The okay test.
The okay test.
Okay.
I think that's
right there.
I think that's accurate.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
So were they doing the little John drawing out?
Okay. What?
Or, okay.
All right, Rich, tell us about Sunday, man.
Yeah. The thing that we weren't invited to, you know, you were like hosting.
We teased that last week. Yeah. And we just kind of threw it out of nowhere.
Here in Los Angeles, they're to drum up support for Emmy Award votes. You have events. For your consideration events. And last night at the Directors Guild on Sunset Boulevard here in beautiful Los Angeles, California, they showed an episode of Curb after which Larry David, Jeff Garland, Cheryl Hines, Susie Essman, J.B. Smoove, and Jeff Schaefer and Richard Lewis, not pictured right here, all got up on a stage, and I was the host of a Q&A. And, you know, that was a quick yes when that came into my inbox. So how often do we've had Larry on this program and Jeff Schaefer, the writer, director, and collaborator of Curb Your Enthusiasm. How many times do we say to Larry, hey, is there going to be another season of Curb?
All the time.
And the answer is what?
We'll see.
I don't know. Take a look. Ask me later. Yeah. So last night, final question of the Q&A was, is there going to be another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm? And I wasn't told to ask the question. I was going to ask the question, but there were also cards submitted by those in the audience, audience. Had to have been almost 1,000 people in this auditorium. And so that was the last question. I'm like, okay, I'll take it from the audience. So it was right there. And I said to, you know, will there be another season of Curb? And Larry David looks me in the eye and says, yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Really?
Yeah. You could have knocked me over with a feather. And I kind of looked across because he was right in the middle and Jeff Schaefer was all the other side of the stage. And I locked eyes with him and he kind of nodded his head. It's on.
Wow.
It's happening.
How about that?
I know. Another thing that came out of last night that was kind of interesting is I asked, you know, the idea of guest stars and cameos and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get these folks to do it? And they admitted they have this entire season mapped out to culminate around somebody that needs to be acquired for a guest star position. This year was Colonel Alexander Vindman, of all people.
Right.
You know, one year Mel Brooks, and they kind of joked, like, I asked Larry, like, you're kind of the Rivera, you got to come in and close it. And I said, who's been the toughest one to get? And he's like, the one who said no. And he kind of looked at Jeff Schaefer and the stage as well, and they nod each other. Joaquin Phoenix was apparently somebody who was supposed to be part of the episode that they had last night involving the watermelon. And
said no?
Said
just,
no.
Just not interested?
Said
wow.
no. Said no.
How about that?
So also, you know, the question about the process and how they go through everything being, you know, unscripted and improvisational. And there was a lot of the conversation about all that. And I brought in Jeff Garland by saying, Jeff, you've been on my show, this show, talking about how many people come up to you with ideas for Curb. And you say all of them are bad. None of them are good. And he told the same story of like, remember people that have come, I have never in all the years of Curb ever forwarded an idea to Larry and Jeff because, you know, they got it, right?
Right.
So at the end, you know, when after he said there was more episodes coming back and I'm like, well, this is just amazing. And speaking on behalf of everybody who loves this show, it's great to hear. And also because every day, all of us in our daily lives in this crazy ass world, we're constantly running into Curb Your Enthusiasm moments that everybody thinks could be an episode. And I'm like, ah, screwed. For instance, and I told him the elevator stuff from the other day that, you know, I have a problem if I hold the elevator door for somebody and then due to my largesse, they're on the elevator and then allow another person to come on the elevator. Causing me to be more delayed to my floor and how much that's a problem. And Larry completely takes it, laughs out loud, and comes up with a whole better idea. He workshopped it like he always does.
Wow.
For those on a terrestrial radio audience, you'll have to catch the rest of this on our YouTube page. Albert Breer coming up the next hour right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sorry about that, but we'll see on YouTube. But for here on this moment, Larry...
Peacock exclusive.
He goes, or how about you're coming down the elevator? You let somebody on the elevator coming down. They get on the elevator because they've clicked the button. You hold the door open for them. They come on. And they're the first one off and beat you to the valet.
Oh, you gotta wait for
it. So they're also going down to the garage, wherever, valet, right?
Right.
But because you're in
letting
the back
them on.
Now.
Right, you're in the back
and
now.
And they are the first off.
Right.
They get their car first.
And you're now left waiting because
another 5-10 minutes,
right?
Because you let them
up. Right, that when you come on the elevator,
that's tremendous.
When you come up, the first person on the elevator has all rights and positional rights of anything that happens off the elevator.
Okay.
Which is why Larry is Larry,
this is good.
And I had a feeling as I brought this up, this has happened to him, and he kind of had it in his mental archive that our idea, or at least my crazy idea of like, hey, man, I didn't mention that I have problems holding elevator doors for men. Women and the elderly, yes, but for guys,
and the elderly.
Screw it. You're not coming on. I am not holding the door open just so I could be late to my floor. Or later than necessary. But I brought up that fact, like how once you're on the elevator, because I've let you on the elevator, you don't have the rights to hold the door open for other people to make me even later. And his response was coming down. If you come on the elevator and I hold the door open for you and you come on the elevator, you should let me off first. I should be first at the valet.
This is very first world problem-ish right here.
Well, this is a Los Angeles problem.
It's an
obviously.
LA problem. It's something where it's a Larry David problem.
It's a Kurt problem.
Clearly. Right, right.
You got to get shoulder on the person in the elevator.
Or just push them to the back. Hey, you're in the back.
Yeah, you go in the back.
Like, I got to stay.
Like, spatially,
door.
You have, if you're on the elevator first, you have rights.
But how's that work, though? Because if the elevator fills up, what are you going to do? Constantly position yourself to the front?
Yes.
No, you get pushed to the back. That's how it works.
Yes.
How are you going to do that? You can't do that.
Yes, it is. Yes, you can.
Nope.
It's all doable.
You've never been in a mosh pit before, have you?
Bottom line is, this could be on a next year curb.